on this episode of China Unscripted. American sports leagues are selling out to China, from the NBA to esports company Blizzard. But some Americans are standing up to the censorship, and Congress passes a bill to protect Hong Kong. Hi, welcome to China Unscripted. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Zhang.
And I'm Matt Gnezda.
Are you sure you're ready, Shelley? When you said I'm ready, I thought you were ready, but
I forgot that I had to say my name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the honest truth.
Well, the good thing is we're about to drink some delicious tea, courtesy of Path of Cha, our sponsors. Tonight we're drinking Silver Needle White Tea, so give it a sip and wake up. Yeah, wake up.
That is not a reflection on the tea. The tea is excellent. I just can't drink.
You have a drinking problem,
don't you? I have a drinking problem. You know, I didn't understand that because when I watched Airplane, I was like 5. So I didn't understand that
what
joke.
A drinking problem.
Yeah, I didn't understand what a drinking problem was.
I wonder. Yeah,
there are a lot of jokes there that were adults only.
Yes.
And I really had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
I like my coffee black, like my men, said by like a... 8-year-old girl or something.
Could you say that today?
No.
Because she would be much older than 8 now.
That's right. Yes. That's the reason.
So anyways, this is sure delicious tea. Silver Needle White Tea. White tea is a lesser processed kind of tea. It's very, very floral. Kind of floral, I think. Like orchids. Orchids? Yeah.
Like this tea. We had it before, didn't we?
Well, possibly so. Yeah, it's very refreshing. So, if you like tea, I recommend checking out Path of Cha. If you order tea from a link we put below, you'll be helping out the show as well. So, drink up. This one's on me. On you. Down the hatch. So the main story that seems to have been happening over the past week is the realization about just how much of a sellout... a lot of people are apparently sellouts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the main realization is everybody... now understands that China is ruled by a communist party that censors stuff.
That possibly is true, but no, that is thanks to...
It's not censorship, guys. It's just that when you say things in a free country, you can say whatever you want, but you just have to be, sensitive to the cultural differences, right? For example, people in China who are in positions of power don't like it when you talk about the things... that they're embarrassed about.
How much are they paying you, Matt?
Matt, I don't know how you managed to sound so obnoxious when you said that, but it was a skill.
It was a very good impersonation.
I was trying to imitate what's his name from the NBA.
Well, oh. I mean, you can't narrow it down to one person in the NBA.
You mean the?
I was trying to do an impression of Adam Silver.
When did he say the cultural differences thing?
Look, it's just a general... it wasn't a good impression. I was just...
Silver
that was the idea.
Is the NBA commissioner.
Yes.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, because he kind of, tried to backpedal.
All right, before you ruin the story, for those of you who haven't heard... I just spoke to somebody today who had not heard of the story. So, they're like, I've heard something about the NBA in China. What is it? Well... for those of you who don't know, the NBA is apparently very big and very popular in China. It's apparently like worth $4 billion.
I mean, it's not an accident. They've spent well over a decade trying to establish themselves in China. So.
Chinese people are known for their love of black people.
I thought you were going to say basketball.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes, that's what you said, Chris. Continue.
Anyway, this was all put at risk. Shelley, why are you gritting your teeth?
Nothing.
So anyways, all of this $4 billion fortune was put at risk the other week when the general manager of the Houston Rockets, which is a basketball team, for those of you who didn't know, this guy, his name's Daryl Morey, he did a tweet in support of the Hong Kong protests. His tweet said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong."
Technically, it was just a tweet of
the image
that said, yeah.
But oh man, did the NBA not like that.
Well, I think first what happened was that Chinese internet users who were jumping the firewall to look at Twitter found...
If I were forbidden from the internet, the first place I would go if I got out was Twitter.
Actually, most people go to Instagram. That's true.
That is, yeah, that is. I like if you go on the China Censored Instagram, you get a lot of very pro CCP people commenting on the post, which is strange since,
you know, mostly people go there for the beautiful photos of, I don't know, what do people put on there?
Thoughts. All the brilliant thoughts that are put.
I'm just thinking all the like young Chinese women taking selfies.
Yeah, I mean,
when we did that episode about like the crazy rich Asians of China, it was one of our more popular episodes. And like, I ended up spending way too much time on Instagram looking at
pictures like, of beautiful pictures young of girls posed in front of like Lamborghinis and stuff like that.
It was, by the way, this was all for research purposes.
Yeah, poor you.
It was a rough week.
And so speaking of people digging a hole for themselves, the NBA. That was pretty good, right?
It was good, though.
Oh, thank you. It's this tea. My gosh, it's so invigorating. It stimulates your brain noggin.
I thought you said this team, and then I realized you said the tea.
Oh, you must still be choking on it. Hmm. It's affecting your hearing. So the owner of the team was like, oh, whoa, no, this guy doesn't speak for us. Then Daryl Morey, the guy who did the initial tweet, like, deleted it and, like, made a kind of apology. And then, like, one of the star players, James Harden, for the Houston Rockets, like, he gave this little interview where he's like, oh, yeah, we love China. We love everything they're about, which I don't think he knew about the, you know, millions of Uyghurs in concentration camps or the mass organ harvesting of political prisoners.
Probably not.
But he does know that he gets a lot of money from China.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand that, like, if your career is a, you know, sports player, professional sports, like, you have to focus so much of your life on that one thing. Like, you're not really expected to follow, you know, like, what's happening in China.
But that's where people pointed out a lot of the hypocrisy in the NBA, because many players are very quick to talk about American social issues.
I mean, I can understand, though, that they don't really know anything about Chinese social issues.
Yes, so. But there is a difference between, like, oh, wow, I don't really know what this is about, to, well, for instance, here is the NBA's official statement on their Chinese language social media account. And so this is...
So, yeah, you do have to hold them accountable for their official statement. They can't do those
Although,
without research.
I think there was... There's been some controversy about whether how official that official statement it was, but go ahead and read it.
It's on the website. Like, someone had to oversee this.
It was on their Weibo page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, we are extremely disappointed in the inappropriate comment by the general manager of the Houston Rockets. .. He has undoubtedly seriously hurt the feelings of Chinese basketball fans. We have the utmost respect for the history and culture of China.
And we are now renaming the Houston Rockets to the Dongfeng Rockets.
To the PLA Rocket Force.
Well, I mean, that is also the English statement was a little bit different as well. It didn't have all the stuff about hurt feelings about China or the hurting the feelings of Chinese basketball fans or the history and culture of China. It was kind of more along, the gist seemed to be more like, we're sorry for if people were offended.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry if you were offended, okay?
Yeah, like, well, maybe not quite that? Like that, but...
That's like the douchey guy being like, well, I'm sorry if you were offended by what I said.
Because that's not a real apology.
Right.
You're not apologizing, you're just saying...
Okay. You know. Sort of like when somebody says, no offense, but, and then they say something offensive.
Yeah, that kind of thing, where it sounds like you're being polite, but actually... You're being the opposite of that. Anyway, but, you know, that looked pretty bad for the NBA for a while. And then the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, they were playing games in Japan at the time. So he had this press conference where he seemed to come out and backtrack a little bit on that official statement, where he was talking about how, you know, Daryl Morey has freedom of speech and the NBA is... As you mentioned, they are very, you know, outspoken about social justice and other issues in the U.S. And, you know, he was like, well, we totally support Barrymore's freedom of speech. So they kind of made it seem like they weren't going to bow all the way to the ground.
Well, neglecting to talk about the initial issue that brought this whole up, the Hong Kong protests. And I know ESPN also instructed their shows to avoid any political discussions about China and Hong Kong because they also have broadcasting issues in China. And none of this actually helped because the NBA's Chinese partners still suspended ties with them, and Chinese media won't be broadcasting the NBA's preseason games in China.
Guess who started broadcasting again, though?
Who?
Tencent started broadcasting NBA games again.
Oh, they're broadcasting the preseason again?
They've started, yeah.
Okay, because they had initially cut the preseason, yep. To which everyone was like, they broadcast the preseason?
Yeah, I don't know how big a deal that was, but I did see a headline today or yesterday that Tencent was broadcasting again. Let me just fact-check myself.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. As a company operating in a communist system, they saw a market opening and took advantage of that.
Tencent was actually the first one to say that they weren't going to air preseason games. Then state-run CCTV said they weren't going to, after Adam Silver came out and was like, we support Daryl Morey's freedom of speech. Then they were like, okay, well, now we're... Yeah. Yeah. So Tencent...
But then they remembered how much money is involved.
Yeah. They've... but yeah, Tencent has aired two different NBA games.
You see, communists are liars. You can't even trust them to ban you.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting. It's a little bit more complicated with the NBA because there's such a huge market for the NBA in China. Of course, the NBA doesn't want to lose that money, but also Chinese basketball fans are pretty serious. And that's actually a constituency that I think that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't really want to trigger all these people into... choosing
if
between.
If they actually ban the NBA,
yeah.
And then you might have Chinese people being like, wait a minute, we live in a brutal, authoritarian, oppressive state.
Not watching basketball is the last straw. We're going to have to watch the CBA? No. Revolt. But it is kind of true that the NBA has a little bit more leverage than some of these other companies. Even more than Hollywood, I would say. In a lot of ways.
Well, we'll get to Hollywood in a minute because there's been some latest stories about that.
I do want to say about the NBA, what's interesting is that late last week there was a directive passed down from the propaganda department to say cool it on the NBA stuff.
Oh, really?
So the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda department was like, don't keep fanning the flames.
Well, because it is such a scandal in the U.S. I mean, there was instances of fans in the U.S. going to games with signs supporting the Hong Kong protests who then were confronted and had their signs taken away.
I think in Philadelphia they were kicked out also for saying, like, free Hong Kong or something during the game.
And so this was kind of a thing of where, like, many Americans are now realizing, oh, wait, business interests in China are causing censorship in the United States. And that's kind of a next-level thing for a lot of people.
This is going to be a big deal for, like, several more days in the United States.
Well, they keep, if NBA stars keep coming out and saying ham-fisted things, it will be. Well,
speaking of LeBron James.
The Barbara Streisand effect, right? Like, the more you try to suppress some news, the more it pops up.
I mean, they tried really hard, too. The NBA, when they had their exhibition games, because the Lakers were in China playing a game, and they were tearing down the posters of advertising the game. The Chinese government was tearing down the posters. They had to cancel all these events and things like that. They had basically canceled all their press availability, so nobody could ask them questions about it. The Lakers, I think, and the Rockets were there. So then you had this like weird thing where there was a press conference where they had James Harden and a few other basketball players there, but they were like, they're only answering questions about basketball. A reporter tried to ask about the controversy and was just completely shut down by the NBA. They're like, we're not answering questions. They're not going to answer any questions that have to do with anything except basketball. It was
Also, LeBron James made the mistake of talking about things other than basketball when he said that Daryl Morey, the guy who made that initial Hong Kong tweet that started this whole thing, LeBron James said he was misinformed, that he believes he wasn't educated on the situation, and many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Oh, the spiritual harm you have from not listening to the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, a lot of people have been pretty harmed spiritually by the Communist Party.
That's true.
I do understand to an extent
that, the physically thing, like, people are always put at risk inside China. There was one Houston Rockets fan who, like, voiced his support for the Rockets, who was quickly arrested. So anytime controversy comes up, it does actually put people at risk.
I'm not sure those were the people that LeBron James was
thinking exactly.
About.
I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, because then he later he got a bunch of blowback for saying this, and then he tweeted that he wasn't going to talk about the substance of what Daryl Morey was talking about, a.k.a. he wasn't going to talk about the Hong Kong issue, but he was just saying that, you know, if Daryl Morey didn't consider the consequences of his, you know, actions, and the Lakers had a really difficult week in China.
The poor Lakers.
As a result.
But can I just say something to clarify here? Like, what is the source of all this financial and physical harm that's been coming to people over this incident? Like, at the source of each point is the Chinese Communist Party. Like, the reason that there was a brouhaha over the initial tweet is because the Chinese Communist Party. Let me just make my point.
You don't want to interrupt Matt Shelley.
Yeah,
it's very rude to interrupt people.
Imagine interrupting someone. So the Communist Party is behind, you know, pushing people in this brainwashed state where they make a big deal out of it. The Communist Party is behind having, you know, companies like Tencent, you know, at least temporarily stop their broadcast. The Communist Party is behind the whole Hong Kong thing in the first place, taking away Hong Kong's freedom so people there protest. So, like, you can't say that the problem is that, you know, someone tweeted something or that, you know, someone harmed someone through that process or through, you know, any of these things that are done in the West on that end of it.
But that's precisely the thing that the NBA will never let anybody talk about.
Which is, I mean, I mostly agree with what you're saying, Matt, but also, like, a big part of the problem is you have U.S. institutions like the NBA totally selling out to China for money. And if it weren't for that, the Communist Party would not have the kind of power it does. If people would actually just kind of stand up. In fact, may I quote LeBron James in a tweet he did last year that people dug up after this whole controversy, where LeBron James tweeted, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter."
I'm pretty sure that was not a original LeBron James.
Certainly part of that was Martin Luther King.
Really?
Jr. Yes.
Who's he?
Oh, boy.
Well, anyways, he tweeted that.
So I think,
this is why Twitter is terrible, though, because you can always go back and find
the hypocritical tweet. It's like back when there was a guy who used to do Meet the Press. He used to trap a politician into saying something or denying that he said something, and then he would roll a clip of the politician saying that thing, or, you know.
That's so mean.
Or it's like digging up old Donald Trump tweets about how Robert Pattinson should not take Kristen Stewart back.
Yeah, I mean,
he made a good point.
I mean, ultimately, yeah, he was right.
Did you know he was in Harry Potter?
Yes.
Donald Trump?
No. If only. No, Rob Pattinson. I only just realized that.
Yes. He looked a little different in Harry Potter. He was, you know.
Sorry, who was he in Harry Potter?
He was Cedric Diggory.
Oh, okay.
In the fourth one.
More like Cedric Deaddery.
Spoiler alert, Chris.
Whoops. Well, hey, speaking of Hollywood, did you guys hear about DreamWorks Abominable?
No.
I have a really hard time saying that word.
Abominable? Like Abominable Snowman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a cute little movie about a abominable snowman.
Something like that. And yet, China's fingerprints are all over it.
It's pretty obvious that the kids in that movie are Chinese.
Don't you think?
Yeah, they're definitely Asian.
Oh, wow. Well, anyways, that's not what the controversy is over. There's a part in the movie where... Did you hear about this, Shelley?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, of course. Why would I assume you didn't know? But there's a part where you see, like, this girl who's, I guess she's into adventure or something. She's got a map on her wall of the places she wants to go or whatever. And it's, you know, it's a map of Asia, and it's got the 9-dash line. China's territorial claims to the entire South China Sea. And inside the 9-dash line is actually Taiwan, signifying that Taiwan is a part of China.
Well, not just Taiwan. You know what happened? Vietnam has now banned the movie.
Yeah, good for them.
From the,
they are one of the countries China's in territorial disputes over, right. This 9-dash line.
Yeah, so they, because that shows the 9-dash line map, they're not going to allow the movie.
Actually, there's a fan of China Uncensored in Vietnam who texted us a photo of a globe he bought in Vietnam that was a Chinese-made globe with the 9-dash line on it.
I mean,
and he was very upset.
It's showing up everywhere. Remember, for Christmas, Matt, you gave me a scratch-off world map.
Right.
And the first thing I noticed was that there was actually a 9-dash line,
yes,
on the map.
Yeah. And so this is something we've been discovering, that China makes a lot of things, including maps. So many maps you'll see just around the place. And I don't know if the people who are selling these maps know this, but there'll be the 9-dash line right on there.
Or Taiwan. Another thing in the map that I had was that, like, Taiwan was the same color as China. So... And it was definitely within the 9-dash line. They didn't, like, Taipei was kind of listed as a, it looked not like a, you know, national capital, but like a regional city capital.
Ah.
Like, there was just all these little things that made it obvious that it was a made in China map. But I just wonder if they ever got, you know,
if they knew about it.
Yeah, it was a UK company. I don't know if they knew at all.
Yeah. And so to anyone listening, if out and about in your daily lives you see, you find an example of this, you know, feel free to send us a picture at chinauncensored@gmail.com. I know, in case you didn't know, China Unscripted, the same people behind that, do China Uncensored.
That's true.
I think somebody did get confused about that recently in the comment section of one of our...
Oh, I think I did see, like, what is this China Unscripted pro-CCP knockoff? I don't know why they thought
it was... It's got our photos at the top of the webpage and the YouTube channel.
Oh, Matt, nobody knows what we look like except for Chris.
Oh, yeah, and it's Chris without a beard because we took that photo in the...
Pre-beard.
Yeah, pre-beard.
Yeah, it's kind of like this insidious creep of the censorship, right? In a lot of ways, you just don't necessarily recognize it's happening. And then suddenly the NBA is...
censoring people inside the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sad thing about the NBA thing is that they really, if they took a stronger stand, and it seemed like they were starting to do that, but I'm not... It's not clear, like...
Well, I mean, there's been such a backlash.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to have like, really resonated with people much more than even the Hollywood stuff, which, you know, we've been talking about for years, and I know other people have... There have been many, many articles written about the Hollywood issue, but something about the NBA really, like, brought people, like, what? Oh, wait.
Have you ever in your life thought so much about the NBA... before this week?
Yeah, I used to watch games. I mean, I haven't in years, but when I was a kid, I used to watch games with my parents, especially the NBA Finals. It was like peak Michael Jordan era.
Yeah, I used to go to NBA games with my dad when I was a kid at the Warrior Stadium.
Well, I grew up in Oakland. Pittsburgh, so we didn't have a basketball team, but...
Yeah, we used to go to the Warriors games because, like, the tickets were cheap because the Warriors weren't very good back then.
I mean, the Warriors, yeah. Huh.
I saw the Globetrotters once.
I mean, you're from L.A., Chris. It's not like there's a good basketball team from there.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Well, so yeah, it is interesting how the NBA has raised so much awareness about the Chinese Communist Party and their influence in the U.S. The other story that kind of had
keep going.
Okay. Are you sure?
No. Well, what I was going to say is that the NBA has almost done more for the awareness by...
Don't say this.
Kowtowing?
Don't say this.
Why?
Because it hurts.
I mean, not like... I don't think you know what I'm going to say. Then being supportive of Hong Kong. Do you know what I mean? Like, by the NBA, like, doing all this, like, weird kowtowing and stuff like that, that's actually...
It's raised more awareness about Hong Kong.
Yeah, the controversy has done more.
Okay, that was a little different than what I thought you were going to say.
I know what you thought I was going to say, and I would never say that.
I thought she was going to say that the NBA has done more to raise awareness about China than we have in 7 years of China Uncensored.
It seemed like one of our first episodes was about the movie Looper and how they had changed the great, glorious future from Paris, which was the original story, to Shanghai.
They got partial funding from a production company.
Yeah.
Yeah, in China.
So, I mean, that's why they changed it. But just also like the message of like Shanghai will have this great future.
Yeah, in the future, you want to go to Shanghai and not Paris, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There's, I remember some line in there about, like, something, I want to go to Paris. Like, go to China. I'm from the future. Go to China.
Yeah. Bruce Willis's character is like, I'm from the future, kid. Go to Shanghai. Yeah.
And yet, it seems like the reality might not match that.
Well, we will see. Perhaps China will have a beautiful, great future. But maybe after.
Gotta say that Looper's future didn't strike me as being a great, beautiful future anyway.
There's a lot of gun violence and stuff too, yeah. Well, you know where it doesn't have a lot of gun violence is Shanghai under the rule of the Communist Party. If you exclude the threats of guns from the Chinese police and paramilitary, then it's very safe, right? Because they
other than
have
all
everyone,
the knife attacks.
Right, but they have people under surveillance all the time. So there's a certain type of physical safety you do have when you have zero freedom.
That's a good point.
Is it real physical safety, though?
Well, no, because you... It's just the thing is that like you're at risk of very serious harm if you make a political mistake. If you do something that's not politically correct in the Chinese sense, then you're like carted off to prison or even a labor camp and you have no recourse. So that's like a much more serious thing that you can't resolve on your own, no matter how many tough friends you have. And I think that's far scarier than the risk of being mugged. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, hey, you know what else isn't known for a lot of gun violence? Video games. And so that brings us to the other thing that has raised more awareness about China than in a week than China Uncensored has in 7 years is the Blizzard controversy. Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, the video game company. They make World of Warcraft, Overwatch, probably the games these kids are playing these days.
As I understand, Blizzard is an American company, but Activision is partly owned by Tencent, the Chinese mega conglomerate.
I think Activision owns Blizzard now.
So there's a lot of conglomeration happening. But anyway,
that's when all the best stuff happens.
Yes.
When you have huge multinational conglomerates.
When can we join a multinational conglomerate?
As soon as we stop criticizing the CCP.
Dang it, because we will never stop. Hey, we're not sellouts. Fancy that.
please buy our tea.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This Silver Needle White Tea from Path of Jiao. Link below. Well, so anyways, there was... like, I guess competitive video game playing is a
e-sport. It's a huge thing.
Somebody mentioned in a comment that they realized how old you were, Chris, by how confused you sounded when you started talking about e-sports.
Yes, it doesn't make sense to me. So there is a thing called e-sports. I believe that stands for electronic sports. Which makes me think of Tron, but it's less cool than that because you're not actually in the video game risking your life.
Hey, that could come.
Do you remember that old Nickelodeon show? Oh, I forget what it's called. Oh, man, I hope somebody can remind me in the comments below. But it was like maybe Nick Arcade or something where like the final thing is like you're like the kids would be like against a green screen and it would be like they're in the video game and they have to collect items and it was impossible. Hardly anyone ever won.
I do kind of vaguely remember that. But also just like so you know, Chris, they now have stadium events with very large audiences of thousands and thousands of people who are there live to watch people on stage play video games.
So they're just watching people sitting at computers?
But then the games are on the consoles.
And then there's bigger screens.
Oh, so you can see what's being played.
Yeah, yeah. The games would be like on the huge like screens. They had one at Barclays a few months ago.
Really? Well, why not just watch that at home then? Like, what's the difference of like watching a screen?
Why do you watch the NBA
because
at home?
Because it's like
versus...
you see the people and you're with people enjoying it.
Well, it's the energy of going to a live event, which is very different.
All right, well, you know, maybe I should try it someday. Maybe, you know.
sounds unlikely the way you're talking.
Hey, you know what? Maybe I should become a top performing esports player. I wonder if you can take performance-enhancing drugs for that.
Like Adderall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably do
something
like that.
I think that would be like folk... Or, you know, I was like... I wonder if people just get like really bad repetitive strain injury.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure it has its own...
Carpal tunnel.
Yeah. So anyways, that apparently one of these e-sport events that is a real thing these days...
Get off Chris's lawn.
Get off my lawn. God, I mean, even saying this sounds, this feels weird. So a professional Hearthstone player, he was a Hong Konger, and so he made a statement supporting the Hong Kong protests at one of the esports events. Hearthstone is some game Blizzard makes.
It's actually like a virtual card game, which makes it even, like there's like another layer of, yeah.
And so they like banned him for a year and like reportedly made him forfeit $10,000 in prize money. And so then that was like everyone in the video game world being like, oh, wait, China has a lot of influence and is very oppressive.
I think there were some indications of that before in the video game world, but this was probably like the biggest scandal then.
Yeah. I mean, it created like a call for like a global boycott on Blizzard. But I think the best strategy somebody came up with was not a boycott, but someone suggested on Reddit that a popular character from the video game Overwatch, there's like this Chinese character in it called Mei. And somebody was like, wouldn't it be a shame if she became the face of the Hong Kong protests? And then suddenly, everyone was making loads of Hong Kong protest art with this character.
Yeah, and then I saw people holding up the posters in an actual Hong Kong protest.
Uh-huh.
So
basically, the plan is to get Overwatch, a Blizzard game, banned in China. And Overwatch is a huge, popular game in China.
I don't know that they would be able to do that, though, because Blizzard is trying... I've seen... Okay, so because of the backlash, Blizzard has actually backed down a little bit. They said that they were going to return the prize money to the Hong Konger because...
Oh,
because
they would understand that. If you give somebody money, then they'll do whatever.
Well, I think it was because they were like, okay, technically he won his prize money fair and square. And we'll, instead of firing the two guys who were casting...
It was a live stream.
Yeah. Instead of firing the two guys who were hosting... the cast, they will just suspend them for 6 months, and then they're only suspending the guy for 6 months now instead of a year.
Wait, I missed the part about that, like, two guys got fired?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's
I think it was, I think they were Taiwanese. So they, this is all in Mandarin, where they seem to know that the Hong Konger was going to say the, you know, free Hong Kong, like liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our time slogan. Because they were like, we're going to let you say your eight words, but we'll just be behind this desk while you do it. So they ducked behind a desk and they were like, go. And then he said the protest slogan. And then they came back out. So they were trying to, I think, you know, distance themselves a little from the repercussions of that. But Blizzard fired them.
Right. But, but Blizzard backtracking a little bit on that, like they backtrack halfway. It's like, that's really not any better. As a company, it's not any better. It's slightly better for them. But it's kind of like Carrie Lam withdrawing the extradition bill, like, 3 months into the protests already when it's way too late. And now there's already like a whole host of other things that need to be addressed.
But I do think it shows that this whole backlash had some effect, right?
Yes.
Just like the NBA backlash caused Adam Silver to do a press conference where he said they supported, you know, everybody having the right to freedom of speech.
Well, hopefully this is the beginning of a movement where, you know, Americans will start holding companies, Hollywood, accountable for selling out to essentially a hostile foreign government.
Well, I don't know if I'd hold my breath, because the last thing I saw about Blizzard is they're having a BlizzCon, I guess.
Yeah, that's coming up.
And they've one of the things that they've now published in their rules is that nobody is allowed to cosplay as Winnie the Pooh at their event.
Get out!
If you show up in a Winnie the Pooh costume, you'll be asked to change or leave.
Oh my gosh, let's go. And be dressed as Piglet.
Like, or just like other. Everybody except
I'll be Eeyore and I can be Wang Qishan.
Okay, that's...
What if we just show up as like some other yellow bear and say we're furries and it's our...
Yes, because...
You're wearing like a blue t-shirt instead? Okay.
Yeah, no, this is a good idea.
Well, so anyway, anyone listening to this who loves esports as much as me, get... go to BlizzCon. I don't know if that's difficult to get into, but get into it and dress as Winnie the Pooh. Or
actually, yeah, that would be, because I feel like that's what happened with the Hong Kong protesters at the NBA, where they went and filmed themselves getting kicked out. So that kind of made it even bigger. Yeah.
But also, like the NBA thing, this is sort of a catch-22 for the Chinese Communist Party, because people inside of China love Overwatch. So if they banned Overwatch, that would really upset a lot of
Chinese
people.
It's a fundamental threat to the stability of the Chinese Communist Party.
You know, guys, a year ago, would you be like, oh, the greatest threats to the Communist Party are the NBA.
And video games.
Overwatch and the death of millions of pigs.
Death of millions of pigs?
Oh, because the African swine fever. Swine fever.
Oh, well, you're also forgetting one very important enemy of China, South Park.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hong Kong.
Yeah, I thought
No.
Speaking of things that have raised more awareness about China
than the past 7 years of my life, I could have been playing esports and making more of a difference, raising awareness about China that way.
Only if you were the best.
How hard can a Hearthstone be?
Okay, so let's just move on to the next topic.
Typing
now.
Angry comments.
So on the flip side of all this, you know, we've been talking about how badly people are selling out to the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, we forgot Apple. All right, keep going.
Okay, one more quick thing. We forgot to mention how badly Apple sold out to China. Well, they've been selling out for years. But the thing that also came to light this week, Shelley.
Oh, they had banned an app called HK
Map
Live, which was a kind of crowdsourced map where you could see where protests were happening, where police were, and things like that. We'd actually used it a lot in Hong Kong because it just... it has a website too, so you could go to the website and then you could see little icons for where there are police cars, where there are protesters, so you could get an idea of which areas of the city were safe to be in or not. And they had developed an app that Apple had initially not approved, then they approved, and then I think state-run media or the, somebody, like the Chinese government, somehow criticized Apple for having approved this dangerous app, and then they banned it.
Again. And this is also in the same week that it came out that the latest update for the iPhone in Hong Kong and Macau got rid of the Taiwan flag as an emoji.
Yes, and there was also a story from BuzzFeed that showed that Apple TV Plus, like their paid service that's going to be like the Netflix competitor, they had asked some of the people developing TV shows for their exclusive platform to not do anything that offended the Chinese government within their shows.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And didn't they also ban Quartz?
Yes, they took off the Quartz, which is a online media. They took off their app from the Chinese app store, too.
Because they've been reporting on the Hong Kong protests.
Well, we got banned from the Apple TV app store first.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that.
It was like 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
And they, Apple TV, first they banned our Apple TV app in mainland China and Hong Kong and Taiwan. And then we got like 10,000 signatures from fans.
And a letter where we said we were getting a lawyer.
Yes. And then they, you know, coincidentally, like without any fanfare at all, re-allowed us to Hong Kong and Taiwan, although not mainland China.
I mean, that was not what we were trying to get anyway, because we knew that was never going to happen. But the fact that they banned us in Hong Kong, and especially in Taiwan, it was just, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was... Very, but I think that had that happened now, we'd probably get a lot more attention for that. At the time, people probably, you know, didn't pay much attention to the issue. I mean, our fans of China Uncensored certainly did, but like it didn't get a lot of other attention. A few other media picked up on it.
I think Hong Kong Free Press actually did a story.
Yeah. Oh, those guys are great.
And of course, it directly affected Hong Kong. But yeah, it was.
Yes.
Everybody's getting attention for this stuff now, and I'm actually really happy about that. I mean, the whole, like, we've been doing this for 7 years and thing aside, it really is like, okay, maybe finally people are starting to talk about this thing.
You no longer feel like Cassandra.
Yes. Yes. I no longer feel like I'm trying to warn everybody that the Trojan horse is full of Greek soldiers. Everybody's laughing at me. Then I try myself to attack the soldiers. People hold me back. And then I watch my city burn.
Basically.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Shelley's talking about, you should study up on your Greek mythology instead of playing your Hearthstones all the time.
Speaking of Greek mythology, South Park.
Ah, yes. Epic heroes. So, yes, oddly enough, it was... Well, oddly enough, if you didn't know, South Park, after like 23 years, is still on the air.
I didn't really know that.
So these poor kids have been in like the fourth grade for 23 years.
That's the worst.
I thought that, you know, they had just moved on to making musicals and stuff like that.
Those guys are so freaking prolific. But yeah, so South Park did this amazing episode called Banned in China, where they basically spelled out all of this sort of selling out that... Hollywood and businesses do to get into China. And obviously, they got banned in China for doing this. So then they tweeted out their own apology. They said, like the NBA, we welcome the Chinese censors into our homes and into our hearts. We too love money more than freedom and democracy. I think there was a little bit more to that, but that's the main gist of it.
Oh, yeah, you forgot the part about may this autumn sorghum harvest be bountiful or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on in that apology.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can tell they have definitely had firsthand experience dealing with people being like, oh, wait, we can't say that because that'll offend the Chinese censors.
Yeah, did we talk about this in the last podcast? No, I can't remember.
We might have.
I think we mentioned it briefly, but we didn't talk about the aftermath of all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like they started holding screenings of this episode in Hong Kong. The one.
That is the protesters held screenings, not South Park themselves.
No. That's right.
And I think I saw people translating it with like Mandarin subtitles and also Cantonese subtitles.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
And they've doubled down on it in like the episode that came out recently. They like
they had like the conclusion of the whole Tegrity Farms in China thing.
Yeah, and like they had the characters saying like, no. Yeah, say it. Say
Towley insisted. Towley, right?
Towley, the towel. Yes,
Towley insisted that he say that he reject the Chinese government in a very swear word filled manner.
That's South Park. Yeah, he said like, say it. Say F the Chinese government. We're keeping it clean here, folks. And then and he was like, F the Chinese government. No, say it. And so, like, I mean, in the context of like the NBA selling out like they did, and Blizzard and Apple, to have
a towel
say what no man can say. Towley always was my favorite character.
I have to say that was actually the first South Park episode I've ever watched, was the one that we watched, the Band in China one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really, you know, when South Park was
you're,
popular.
You're saying your strict Chinese parents didn't let you watch South Park when you were 18?
When I was 18?
Or, I don't know, when did South Park? Oh, it's been 23 years. So, yeah, you were younger than that.
I was like 10. So
I did watch South Park. Like, my mom was like, okay with it. She's like, well, there's too much swearing, but, it, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I believe that your mom did that. Yes.
I mean, my mom is very, she's very Northern California.
Matt's mom is the best.
Mm-hmm. She's great. You've met her too, right?
I have, yes.
Yes.
But so the South Park thing, like it expanded beyond that. Like there was a story that came out like either today or yesterday that a superstar German DJ named Zed, I think.
DJ Zed.
Yeah, makes sense. He got apparently permanently banned from China for liking a South Park tweet. And not even a China-related South Park tweet. He liked one that was like, it's our 300th episode tonight, which is your favorite episode and why?
That seems absurd, even for China, honestly.
Well, I read it on the internet, Shelley, so it must be real.
I mean, but music stars have been getting banned from China for years.
Since ancient times.
Yeah. I mean, Bjork got banned for yelling "Free Tibet" in a concert in China.
Katy Perry.
Was Taylor Swift?
No, well, she had that in 1989.
There was that
the TS her album TS 1989, but it stands for like Taylor Swift and the year she was born.
What a wonderful coincidence!
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, Katy Perry, I believe, wore a like a sunflower dress around the time of Taiwan's sunflower movement.
Oh right, and I remember then they had to do a lot of groveling to get her back into China.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Left Shark is a radical anti-communist.
Is he? He's like a super Marxist that even the Chinese Communist Party can't stand.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, he's Left Shark, not Right Shark.
So. Far Left Shark. That's my new favorite character, even more than Towley. Well, do we have any other news to talk about? Oh. And, of course, we do. You know who else is not selling out to the Chinese Communist Party, apparently?
Nancy Pelosi.
My gosh. Well, more than just her, the U.S. government. It's more than just Nancy Pelosi.
Well, what we're specifically talking about is the U.S. House of Representatives, which has passed the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, which is Act that does some complicated government stuff that essentially lets the U.S. government monitor the erosion of freedom in Hong Kong and determine whether the U.S. should still give Hong Kong special economic privileges. The act would also give a mechanism for to possibly sanction Hong Kong officials. That have been involved in like human rights abuses in Hong Kong, and they also would let Hong Kong protesters who have a arrest record because of protest, they would still be able to get visas to come to the U.S. Because usually if you have some kind of...
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, so usually if you have some kind of, you know, rap sheet of some sort.
Also, Joshua Wong can still come.
Yeah, so, yeah, basically, if you've got some kind of So they were saying it didn't have to be people who were only peaceful protesters, too. Like, if you had a rioting charge or something like that.
Well, because it's easy to get a rioting charge, even if you're not doing what we would consider rioting.
Yeah. So that's... You know, the Hong Kong, I think it's a little complicated for Hong Kong because if they lose their economic privileges, that would be hard on
Hong Kong. But it would also be hard on the Chinese Communist Party. Mm-hmm. And from a certain point of view, like, why would the United States give Hong Kong a special trading status separate from the rest of mainland China if, in practice, there is no difference?
Mm-hmm. I think also the Hong Kong protesters were very supportive. Wanted this to be passed. There was a rally the other night where, you know, more than 130,000 people showed up in downtown Hong Kong. Jeez. They were in Cheder Garden. Well, I mean, they couldn't fit in Cheder Garden. It was like, did you see the photos? It
was 130,000 people could not fit in that little square.
Yeah, it was. I have never seen a protest centered there. Spread out so far.
It's amazing that after 100 days of protests, they're still able to get that kind of number of people out.
Yeah, I mean, it was, they feel pretty strongly about this. And I think it's almost more of a symbolic thing than anything else in terms of this is the U.S. government saying, we do care, we're watching, and we're going to pass something to show that, we're taking this seriously.
Well, the House also passed the Protect Hong Kong Act, which apparently would stop the export of, tear gas and rubber bullets to Hong Kong, which would...
Right. They would ban U.S. companies from being able to sell that kind of, crowd control stuff to Hong Kong police, which have abused it, you know.
Yeah, and, I mean, the way they're using tear gas, they're going to need a fresh supply.
The tear gas has been U.S. made tear gas used by the Hong Kong police. I think the UK actually did this a couple months ago where they banned the sale. So
yeah, I mean, I remember one of the policemen, he was shoving a Remington rubber bullet gun my way. I was like, oh, Remington.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel good knowing that's American made quality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think. The U.S. has been very strong about Hong Kong. Last week, I think, or over the weekend, Ted Cruz was in Hong Kong. Josh Hawley, who's a Republican senator from Missouri, was there. Mm-hmm.
Really crossed both sides of the aisle, too. I mean, you have, Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz agreeing on Hong Kong and the cowardice of the NBA.
Yeah, you...
But it shows that there are certain American values that transcend politics, and the media doesn't give enough attention to those things. But the values of freedom and liberty and free speech, these things are core American values. And, you know, it's almost sad that it's such a shock to us, and it is a shock, you know, but that it's sad that it's such a shock that it can be a bipartisan issue, because it really... should have been seen like that in the first place.
Yeah. It's because it seems like the NBA and Apple and Blizzard, they all focus on the universal value of money.
Right. Although, interestingly, having the NBA and Blizzard sell out, it crosses the spectrum of the jocks and the nerds, right? You get the whole
group. I don't know if there's esports. Can't you have video game jocks then?
You can. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just making a broad generalization that's not completely grounded in fact.
Oh, okay.
We can do that?
No, I can do that. You, Shelley, should not ever do that, because that's just not you.
Why?
Shelley always gets the details right. I just say dumb things and hope people agree with me because I've said it very loudly.
Someday... there's going to be a tweet from Matt that someone's going to dig up.
No, this is... I don't... I don't really tweet and I hardly ever post on social media precisely because I know that someday in the future Matt is going to look back and, you know, facepalm about what past Matt did. So I try to rein in past Matt, which now is current Matt. Does that make any sense?
I think you lost me like 2 Matts ago.
I didn't have enough tea for this.
I like that sentence, though, because it had my name in it so much.
And with that, I think we'll wrap up tonight's China Unscripted. Thanks for listening. Remember, guys, if you want to have some delicious tea and support the show, check out Path of Cha. You can use the link we put in the description below to, you know, that thing where you can use that link and then, like, we get a percentage and it helps the show.
And you get some awesome tea.
Oh, yes. I forgot to add, it hasn't passed the Senate yet. The Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act.
Oh, that's important, isn't
it? Yes. Yeah. It needs to pass the Senate and then be signed into law. So there are some steps to go.
Yeah, I see that as being not a huge political hurdle.
Probably not, being that it seems like the Republicans are pretty strongly pro-Hong Kong. So.
Yeah.
And the Senate's controlled by the Republicans right now. Yeah. Well, something to enjoy learning about and watching as you drink some tea, hopefully from Path of Cha. Thanks for listening. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Jong.
And I'm Matt Ganesta. Matt.
Talk to you next time.
Oh,
Matt you later.
Guys, just when I think we're going to be a serious China podcast.
This was mattening.
Oh, that's enough Matt puns.